Well, this morning, as we've been working with these kids all week, we've been talking about how we can see God in all different areas of life, and specifically God in each one of us, how God works within our lives and the things that He calls us to do, and that God has a plan for every one of us. And in life, what we do is we figure out what God is calling us to do. And this morning, you're going to hear testimony, one from Jeff Combs, and about how God has called him to be a missionary pilot, and he's in his training to do that. But then also, Jim Frazier is going to come and share how God had called and used him when he was a medical doctor flying around in a little airplane in Africa, and how God used him. And sometimes it's hard to figure out what God wants us to do. But I remember about a story in the Bible about Moses back in the book of Exodus. And some of you may recall this story about when Moses was being called. And basically it reads this in the book of Exodus chapter 3. It says, "Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." He was a shepherd. He was out tending the sheep. Father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. "And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God, where the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire and within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over to this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up?'" And there begins the call of Moses to do a very significant thing for God. Sometimes, you know, here was Moses. He was just out doing his ordinary thing. He was out tending the sheep. And shepherds oftentimes, when they would tend the sheep, they wouldn't do them in the same place over and over. They would go to different fields and different locations. But on this particular day, he went out to the far end of the desert where the Mount of Oreb was. And it was on this, in the normal everyday things in life, that God used circumstances. He used timing. He used Moses' own development to give him a specific call that he wanted to use Moses in a powerful way to deliver his people. You know, sometimes we often look for significant signs for God to show us the way. But I really believe that God shows us what to do in our callings in life, whether it's a vocational calling, whether it's a calling just to engage a friend or a neighbor in a spiritual conversation. Maybe it's a calling to step up and volunteer like at Vacation Bible School. And He uses us in the everyday mundane things of life. And sometimes we say, "I'm too busy to do what God wants me to do because I have all these things going on." Well, Moses was busy too. But he responded to God's call. Now, Moses had a conversation in following verses where he says, "God, I'm not good enough. I can't do this." Moses has regrets about his past. He says, "Hey, I've done all these things in the past. I'm not good enough, Lord." And God says, "I'm going to use you." And there's a powerful phrase that God says here in verse 12. And He says this. And He said, after Moses was going through all these things, "Oh, you can't use me. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough, smart enough." All the excuses that we use sometimes not to do what God wants us to do. And listen to this. In verse 13, it says, "And God said, I will be with you." God said, "I will be with you." You see, one of the things we say around here is that God doesn't always call the equipped, but He always equips those who He calls. And this morning, we're going to hear a testimony of our Jeff Combs, our VBS missionary, and Jeff's going to share a little bit how he responded to God's call and what he's doing in his life right now. Would you welcome Jeff here with us today?
Well, good morning, church. How are you guys doing? I'm a little burnt, if you can't tell, so I probably won't be making too many facial expressions because it kind of hurts. Well, it's been a great week here at the Ellettsville Christian Church, and it's been a great week with Chad and his family, and just all the people that I've met, you know, just great people, and the kids were just awesome. And let me tell you, church, I've been a part of several VBSs in the past and different Vacation Bible Schools, and this was by far probably the best Vacation Bible School I've ever been a part of. And you guys went all out. And, of course, I might be a little biased since I am a pilot and it was an aviation-themed VBS. But it was a great VBS, and I think the kids really enjoyed it. I know I really enjoyed it. And so thank you, church, for allowing me to come and share with you guys and just being a part of your church for this week. As Chad said, I am training to become a missionary pilot, kind of like the flying and things that you saw in the MAF video earlier in the service. And I've been with an organization called Christian Wings for the World for about 6 years now. And let me back up before that, before I get ahead of myself here. Back when I was 6 years old, I went on my first airplane ride and got bit by the bug to be a pilot. And I was actually a little afraid. I was a little nervous on my first airplane ride. I thought we were going to crash and flip over when we turned and all that. But after that, just God really planted that seed and that passion for aviation in my life. And from then on, I always wanted to fly. I always wanted to be a pilot. Once I got older, my grandpa was very instrumental in getting me into missions. And so I became really interested in missions and ministry. My dad's a pastor, and so I started doing some small short-term mission trips and things like that, and just really had the passion then to become a missionary. From then, when I was 15 in the eighth grade, I found out about a place called Christian Wings for the World. And this is an organization that trains people to become missionary pilots. And so that was the first time that I ever heard, you know, the term missionary pilot. And so I went out to this place called Christian Wings for the World. And I met this man called named Lionel Smith. He's the founder of Christian Wings for the World. And just did kind of a job shadowing thing, and wasn't going to be much. And he took me on my first flight lesson. It was a half an hour introductory flight lesson. And from then on, I was hooked. I knew what I had to do. I knew what God was calling me to do. And that was my burning bush. And what's been kind of exciting here at VBS is to be around all the little kids and to teach them and tell them how, you know, God can use your passions for his kingdom and for an eternal purpose. And so it's just been really neat and been really awesome to be a part of your church in this VBS. Right now, just to give you an update on the training that I am doing, I received my I soloed when I was 17, and I got my private pilot's license when I was 19, so a little over 2 years ago, and I'm now halfway through my instrument rating. And from then on, I'll probably be working on my commercial, become a flight instructor, and then do kind of the advanced training that you need to have as a bush and jungle pilot. So anyway, that's my story and how I fit into this place. And Jim Fraser's going to come and share a little bit more about his experiences as a missionary and as a pilot himself, and kind of follow up on things that I've touched on. So thank you again, church.
Jeff represents the future. I represent the past. Wow, what enthusiasm. I must admit, I got bitten at about the age of six, too. My father had me go up in a small airplane, and I thought, this, I could take this a lot. But it was 20 years before it ever came to fruition. And following my time in medical school, I decided to get my private license, and following that, I went ahead and got my instrument license, never knowing how I was going to use those particular new skills, if you will. But in 45 years ago, my wife and I, Joyce, and I went to the country of Rhodesia. And it was there, now called Zimbabwe, and it was there that we took these newfound skills, if you will, of medicine. And I was fresh out of medical school. I tell you, I was truly green behind the ears, and I hardly knew what a stethoscope and a sigmoidoscope difference was, but I figured it out. But nevertheless, we went there, and we went as part of a call, and a call from, really, I believe, from God, to take that which we had, skills that we had, our faith, with others to a corner of the world that very few people had gone to. Now, some of you in here have been there. We went. I was a kid out of the Midwest. My parents rarely ever left the Midwest, much less leave the country. And it was a new experience for us. We went. I functioned as a physician there. My wife was a nurse, and we took care of people who were sick, tried to help them, did some surgery. Here's Joyce seeing some of the kids at the hospital where we worked. And I was also involved in doing some surgery. This is one of a minor surgical procedure, but it may have been delivering babies. It may have been doing major abdominal surgery, orthopedic surgery, or preventive care, or whatever it may have been. But in that process, we were trying to bring Christ to those people. Some of them already knew, but some of them didn't. Others had preceded us. Others had brought the hospital, had built the hospital. They had brought airplanes. They had brought their own skills. But we were next along that line. Next slide. And here you can see the hospital. The hospital doesn't look a whole lot different now than it did then. Simple beds, people who are sick, people who are needing care. And go ahead with the other slides. And this, I was on this veranda about 2 months ago. It doesn't look any different than it did 45 years ago. People still need Jesus. They still need some care. They still need some teaching. And in teaching them, we learn a lot about what it is to be a Christ follower. These little boys had suffered some injuries to their right hands, and this is the way we fixed that, or at least tried to help them about 40 years ago. Nevertheless, they were happy, doing better, and they did walk away from this. Some of the other slides we have here shows how we use the airplane. The airplane was, this is a Cessna 180, truly a bush pilot's dream, and I liked this airplane. It became like a second skin to me, and unfortunately, I turned this plane over. But I managed to walk away from it on a landing, and it flew again, but not by me. But but we got another airplane, and we were able to use it. But the airplane became one of those tools that we used. We went into rural areas that couldn't really be reached very easily. Where I could go in an hour might take a day by vehicle if you could get there, or it might take 3 or 4 days if you walked there. And some of these rather remote areas were places where the gospel wasn't known very well. And we had the opportunity to go and do some teaching, to be able to help some people who were sick. Sometimes when people, you can go to the next slides, some of those people who were really sick, we'd bring them back to the airport or and to the hospital where we take care of them. This is the second airplane that we have, and that's yours truly sitting next to the wing there on the front right. And we're doing a teaching session. We'd seen some of the patients, and sometimes I did some minor surgeries under the wing, like they had some special kind of eye problems I was able to fix in that setting. But as you look at this, you're looking at the runway. I didn't fly on many improved runways. Hard runways were an exception, and wherever it could be scratched out on the side of a hill or in among some trees, that's where we were able to land. I would usually check it out before I put the airplane down on it, by ground, before I put the airplane on it. But we were able to go to these remote places using a vehicle of really the modern age, an airplane. And it was very useful for us. We were able to take supplies there. We were able to take people out. We were able to go to preaching points. And it provided a valuable tool. Next picture. At times we were at, this was our clinic building at that particular place. And again, that's yours truly standing in the background there. And these people had come to this little hut where we were seeing patients. We used the hut mainly to you see women who may have had some private issues they wanted us to talk about. And people would stay around. Sometimes we pulled teeth. Sometimes we did various things. But it was used as a teaching tool to tell people about the kingdom of God. The airplane had a valuable role in our ministry. It was used to take supplies, to take people, to bring us, to bring others. And it was also used, you can go ahead to the next picture. And again, our clinic and the fellow standing right there in the middle, he was one of my nurses. And you can see this is really a modern clinic, not unlike the clinics you go to here in this country. But that's kind of the way the third world is. If you think about it, the shirts that you have on today or the blouse you have on today, I'll bet you 90% of them were made in some third world country. The one I have on was made in Bangladesh. Egypt. And the other one that I was looking at was Bangladesh, and these Top Gun shirts that people have on, they were made in El Salvador. Third world countries sending us consumer goods. What are we sending them? Some of it's high tech, some of it's planes, some of it's guns, some of it's food, but hopefully some education. And taking the gospel of Jesus, about the kingdom of God, to people. And the airplane was one of those tools that we did to take to places like this. These kind of places still exist in a lot of the third world. Next slide. The airplane was the tool that we had, the tool that we used, and it was used by others as we left that place, as we left under circumstances that you don't like to leave under. There was a war going on, and we used it as an evacuation tool. The war had come to our doorstep, and in 1978, we left and came to Ellettsville. Thank you. I really liked coming here. But that experience showed me how different tools can be used. What was my skill as a physician, Joyce's skill as a nurse, or teaching the gospel in many different ways, but we were using things in a useful way. In this case, it was the airplane. And I know what Jeff is going to be doing, because that was exciting. It was a passion. It is a passion. It's a passion for him, and he brings the opportunity to take the gospel to corners of the world that surely can't be reached very easily without airplanes. The kingdom of God is within us. We need to share that with the rest of the world. Thank you.
You know, as I look at Jeff and I look at Jim, many years separate them, but the one thing they have in common is their response to God's calling. And, Jim was looking backwards, but I meet with Jim once a week. We meet every week. Jim's one of the elders. He's a leader of our church. And I guarantee you that he's still responding to God's call in his life. He's just responding in a different location now, and it's here. And I see that urgency, and I see that excitement, and I see it in Jeff. And it's been such an honor to be with him and to have these two around us. It's just, it's exciting. And, whenever God puts out a call, there's a time for a response. And, as we've been talking this morning a little bit about Moses and about responding to the call, there's one call that Jesus has for all of us that doesn't require going to a mission field or doing anything. It's a call to simply follow Him. To simply say, I believe in Jesus Christ. That I believe in God and I want Him as part of my life. And I want to accept Him in my heart. It says, the Bible says, the moment you do that, the moment that you accept Him in your heart, it is the moment that you're forgiven from all the sins of the past. We all have regrets, don't we? I mean, I have some stuff in my life that I wish I could just forget about. But you know what? God says, all those things, I'm not going to hold against you. And He says, when we accept Jesus into our heart, He also gives us the Holy Spirit to help us do what He wants us to do for today. That may be sharing about His love with others. It may be going to a mission field. It may be volunteering for a week of vacation Bible school. And let me tell you, that takes a lot of strength and power to do. Whew, I'm tired. Went home and took naps every day. But God gives us the power to do that. But He also gives us a promise in that when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, He says this, that if you confess me before men, Jesus said, then I will confess you before our God in heaven. And so, as I stand in my life and I say, you know what, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I have Him in my life. Then, and when I get to heaven, even though I've made all kinds of mistakes, Jesus is going to be up there and He's going to say, hey, that's Chad Babbert. Come on in. You're one of mine. Man, I look forward to that day. I don't want to go sooner than I need to, but I look forward to that day. And you can have that promise too by having Him into your heart. By accepting Him, by being baptized into Him, and walking a new life with a new purpose.